at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
I'm going to say the abundant life is a supernatural life. There's no way to get around us not having the ability to live supernaturally. And when we talk about living supernaturally, we're talking about living above the natural, not being controlled and dominated by the natural world that we live in. Amen. How many know there's a natural and there's a supernatural? Amen. There's a seen and there's an unseen. There are many phrases in the Bible that talks about in the spirit. Amen. And that means more than one thing. In the spirit means in the unseen realm. In a realm that natural eyes can't see. But it also means in the spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, means that we live our lives according to the promptings, the urgings, the leadings, the guidings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so the abundant life is a supernatural life. And I'm going to tell you, it's made available to us because of what Jesus did for us. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Now, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is really the doorway into a supernatural lifestyle. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about more than just being able to speak in tongues. Thank God that we can talk to him in a heavenly language. But it's more than that. Amen. And for a long time, even after I had been filled with the Spirit and was speaking in tongues, you know, my heart had received by faith, but my head hadn't caught up with my heart. You know, you know some things in your spirit and know that to be real and true and righteous and of God, but not have the natural understanding that lines up with what you know in your heart. So for a long time, I was speaking in other tongues, but I still had a little doubt in my mind. Is this really the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I know I'm speaking in tongues, but am I really filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in the Holy Ghost? Is this really it? So I just didn't have the scriptural foundation, what I'm saying. I didn't have all the scriptures that to me validated the experience that I received. In other words, I knew the experience was real because when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, don't nobody have to tell you heaven done hit you. Heaven done come down on you. You understand? When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know you've had an experience with God, and then the fruit begins to show up in your life. You begin to manifest heaven's glory by how you live your life and how you're delivered from sin and how you start taking authority over the devil. But you still might not have all the scriptures in your, you know, where you can line it up and tell somebody else that it's for today. But there's a lot of voices out there that say the baptism in the Holy Ghost ain't for today. Well, I got news for you. Jesus never removed that gift from the church. Show me a scripture where he ever removed a gift. Gifts and calling of God out without repentance. That includes the gift of the Holy Ghost. He never took back the gift of salvation, eternal life. That gift is still in force today to anybody that'll receive. And he never has removed the gift of the Holy Spirit from the church. Amen. Now, there's four witnesses. There's four witnesses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all say the same thing. Very seldom will you find the same story in all four books. But when it came to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit made sure that it was witnessed and testified by every writer. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John testified about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We're not going to take time to read all of them, all of their accounts, but we will read from two of them. And I'm going to read from Matthew, and then we're going to go over to John. All right, now listen at this. Look at verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist. I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Now, John said the way that you're going to know the Messiah, the way you're going to recognize the Christ, the Lamb of God, is that he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. Now, that's what John the Baptist said. But notice here he says, I'm not worthy to carry his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John said, this is how you're going to know him. Amen. Now, let's go to the book of John, and let's get the witness from John over there. Look at chapter number 1. Look at verse number 19. It says, and this is the record of John. This is John's record. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elias? And he said, I am not. Are you that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the witness that John received from the Father. John said, the one that sent me to baptize with water said to me, well, who sent John to baptize with water? It was God. God told John, the one that you see the Spirit of God descending on and remaining on, that is the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's him. John saw the Spirit of God coming on Jesus in the form of a dove. And Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And when he came up out of the water, God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus had just received the Spirit of the Lord to enable him to do his work and to finish the work of redemption through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Father say, "I'm well pleased with him." And so when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Father is well pleased with you. When you receive the baptism, the Father is well pleased with you. Glory to God. Now, the Holy Spirit had to help me to help my mind catch up with my heart. Because when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, there were a lot of voices out there saying it ain't for today. It's of the devil. And I didn't have enough scriptures that I could take somebody and say, "Hey, this is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and it's real." I said, "Now, I had an experience with God. I know it's real. You can't take that from me. But I really can't go to the Word with you. But I can go to the Word with you now. Because I've been taught by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit is the one that leads and guides into all truth. I can take you to the Word now. So I said, you know what? I started looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I started looking for somebody who got baptized in the Holy Ghost. John said, the Messiah, the one that's mightier than me, greater than me, you're going to know him because he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So I started searching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, looking for somebody. I started looking for somebody that Jesus baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because John said he's the one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't find nobody. I couldn't find nobody baptized in the Holy Ghost. I couldn't find nobody. Couldn't find nobody. I found people healed. I found people delivered. I found people had devils cast out of them. I found people that got raised from the dead. I found people that had that were in Jesus' company when he multiplied bread and fish. I saw all kind of miracles that Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I couldn't find nobody. I couldn't find nobody baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, well, John must be wrong. Still can't find nobody. Still can't find nobody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So is John in error? No, he ain't in error. No, absolutely not. In Luke chapter 24, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he told his disciples, he said, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He's saying, boys, don't y'all go nowhere. Y'all stay in Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The power on high that he was talking about is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus spent a lot of time teaching them about the Holy Ghost who was going to come. Amen. Go to John chapter 7. Look at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." We're talking about something supernatural happening right now, ain't we? We ain't talking about no natural water. We ain't talking about you jumping in a pool getting wet. We're talking about something coming out of your innermost being that is full of life. It is life-giving water flowing out of your innermost being. You say, well, Pastor, what is Jesus talking about? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers! We're talking about supernatural living here. I believe those rivers are in you. You got rivers. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you got rivers of living water in you. In other words, God intends for you to live above the natural. He doesn't expect you to conform to this world. He expects you to be transformed from the world. Amen. The Bible says to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. So I'm not siding with the world at all. The world has its own systems, its own philosophy, its own educational systems, its own political systems. It has all of that stuff. Entertainment, financial systems that are governed by the prince of this world, the devil. And the Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of it. In other words, we have to live in the world we're in, but we don't have to participate with how the world does things. Amen. God called us out of the world because we have another kingdom on the inside of us. Amen. Now look at verse number 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. So when he talked about rivers of living water, he's talking about the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost hadn't happened yet. All right, turn over to John chapter 14. Look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he should give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit, when he comes to take up residence in us. Jesus said, now the Holy Ghost is with you now because the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. He said, but there's coming a day where the Spirit of God is not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. And he called him the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. Now, let's skip down to verse number 26. But the Comforter, now he's going to tell you plainly who the Comforter is. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Hallelujah. Thank God. Go ahead and say it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You see, the Father sent the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. The Father even acted in the name of Jesus. That's how great his name. Even the Father acted in that name. In other words, when the Father sent the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, he sent him in Jesus' stead, in Jesus' place. Look at John 16. Look at verse 12. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you. I hope you're making note of all the things the Holy Ghost is doing. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll lead you into all truth. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. Here we see he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit does speak to us, and the Holy Spirit does show us things to come. I'm telling you, that's supernatural living. To have God talk to you is supernatural. And then to have God reveal things to you about the future is supernatural living. God's called us to a supernatural lifestyle. Amen? Listen to what else he said. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. You know why he does that? Because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was given to us so that we would know the things that are freely given to us by God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we see the Holy Spirit brings glory and honor to Jesus. I just want to show you the work of the Holy Spirit. And we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives, it will cause us to live our lives supernaturally. Amen? And I'm gonna break this down so it's practical to you, so you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to this, verse number 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, a demonstration of the Spirit and of power is supernatural. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? In the power of God. So our faith rests, it stands, it's erect, it is strong, it is firm. Amen. It is stable in the power of God. Because there's a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's supernatural. Hallelujah. Now look down at verse number 12. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go back to verse number 9 here. He said, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You mean to tell me God has prepared some things for those that love him? Now, God loves everybody, right? But he's prepared some stuff special for people that love him back. How am I going to know what God prepared for me? How am I going to know it? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. See, there is the spirit of the world that's on some people. They got a worldly spirit. So they conform to the world. They fit right into the world. They go along with the flow that's in the world. The world tell them that certain things is okay, and they go right along with it, even though the Bible says it's wrong. You better be careful who you stand with. When people stand in opposition to the will of God and want you to come along, agree along with that, you better watch it. Because then you are introducing and you're inviting the spirit of the world into your life. And the spirit of the world is not nice because it blinds you to the truth. Spirit of this world is the spirit of the devil who opposes all righteousness. Y'all got quiet on that one, didn't you? I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost still the Holy Ghost. Amen. I need to tell you the truth. You have to be careful. People that you associate with and mindsets that you embrace, because it's popular with everybody else, you better be careful what side you come down on, or you'll be find yourself being an enemy of God. See, the world will turn you hostile toward God, and you'll start picking up mindsets and attitudes about God. I don't want to go to no church no more. You know, I don't have time to read my Bible. Just you start getting hostile in your attitude toward the things of God. Start not wanting to be around other believers. Man, all they do is talk about Jesus. I ain't got time for that today. Where's that coming from? Okay, is that the Spirit of God or is that the Spirit of the world that didn't come on you? You see, it's trying to mold you and shape you. It's trying to conform you to it. And there's a pressure there to conform. But look at what the scripture says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit is present in our life is to reveal to us the things that God has prepared for us. Things that I hadn't seen. See, the natural eye can't see these things. Things that ear hadn't heard. He's talking about the natural ear. It's things that the natural ear can't comprehend and can't understand. The natural eye can't see it. The natural ear can't hear it. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, it puts you in another realm, a whole nother realm of living where you can see things that other people can't see. You can hear things other people can't hear. Amen. I'm just telling you, I'm just reading from the Bible. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now listen to this, verse number 14. But the natural man, everybody say the natural man. See, the natural man, the man who's governed by the spirit of this world, the man who is governed by his flesh, by how he feels, by what he sees, by what he hears, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or judged. So when you're talking to natural-minded men, they think you crazy. They say that boy done lost his mind. You tell somebody we heard angels singing, they say, boy, them people, I ain't going around that church. Them people talking about they hear angels and stuff. We have another set of ears. We have the element of the supernatural, which God intended for us to live in this place, not to visit this place. We're supposed to live in the spirit. This shouldn't be like every now and then things happening supernaturally. I mean, it should be so common to us, the supernatural. Not that we disrespect it or that we take it for granted, but it should be so common to us that it is more natural for us to operate and function in the realm of the spirit than it is for us to function in the flesh. You see, a bird don't have any problem flying. You clip a bird's wings, and you done messed him up. Because now he can't do what he was designed to do. He was designed to fly. Designed by the Creator to fly. And if you take that away from him, then that bird, its purpose no longer exists. You know, a bird that can't fly is going to die. It is just like walking in the spirit and being led by the Holy Ghost and living a supernatural lifestyle should be so natural to us, almost like a fish in water. A fish in water don't struggle to swim. Why? You put him in water and he in his element. He's in his domain. That's the realm he was designed to live in. Now you take him out of that realm. Take the fish out of water. And what do you start doing?
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 131.